Are you someone who tries to drive while distracted by your phone? Someone who props it on the steering wheel or peeks down at it for a glance? Or just scrolls and scrolls? If so, you could be the next person to get into a fender bender, get a ticket, veer off the road, or even cause a crash that kills you or someone else. Enough already. Put the phone away or pay. Paid for by NHTSA.
Guess who's back?
Hit the drop.
It's wanted!
This is the Rich Eisen Show, live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
I'd like to know if there's a squealer on this plane. I'd like to know who it is.
Earlier on the show, CBS Sports college basketball reporter Seth Davis, host of the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, Ross Tucker. Coming up, senior writer for the MMQB, Albert Breer. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Fun stuff with Ross Tucker in studio. We also had Seth Davis and Stacey Dales back-to-back talking about the men's national championship game tonight, the women's national championship game yesterday. If you missed any of it, we re-air on the Roku channel as soon as this hour is over, and then we will re-air. There's also our podcast version, all 3 hours available through the Cumulus Podcast Network, wherever you get such things. And there's our YouTube page, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show, the Rich Eisen Show collection page, a very fancy way of saying we've got a video on demand service as part of our relationship with the Roku channel. Albert Breer is going to be joining us in about 15 minutes time. First time I ever texted somebody when I'm like, hey, would you mind coming on top of the third hour of my program? He's like, sure. And then a few hours later, I hit him up and I'm like, would you mind waiting 15 minutes? Because I do believe the total eclipse of the sun is supposed to happen during your segment. And just in case somehow, some way, things get really dark behind me, I don't want things to be really weird. Like we stop our football conversation to say, wow, the moon's dark in front of the sun right now. And he's like, sure. Probably thinking, what is the matter with this guy?
What
is the matter with this man? And sure enough, in about 5 minutes from these words out of my mouth, it's supposed to be the 4 minute period where it's the ultimate eclipse, right?
This is where I wish we could go out.
Or totality? Is that what it is?
Go out there.
Yeah, but you don't go out there to do what?
I would report. I'd be like reporting on it.
You want to report on it?
Yeah, this is the stuff where I missed that we can't go out.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing. The last thing I want you to do is go out there and hear the words said into a microphone for all of my listeners and viewers saying, oh my God, my retina is torched.
Like, I still have my ears.
Okay.
That's all I need.
I need someone to explain, like, why does it hurt your eyes?
I think it's because it's the corona of the sun being blocked by... I have no idea.
I should have kept going.
Whatever you were selling, I was like, whoa.
Excuse me.
No, okay.
I was like, Rich, go. Keep going.
I'm spotting dimes over here. I'm spotting dimes.
You think Bonnie Tyler's Spotify plays are just going up today for total eclipse of the heart?
Like,
she's going to make some money today, right?
Oh, yeah. She's making, like, bank.
So... honor of the moment of totality.
moment of totality.
Is that the way you're supposed to say it?
We got a lot.
In
of
honor of the moment of
today.
Totality hitting moments from now, in the middle of this segment that we're about to begin, we have a segment: which sports moments in our lives would we love to have totally eclipsed out of our memory bank?
God, you have. Definitely.
And I have like 48
No,
of
but you had to choose
I
one.
Have so many.
TJ, you chose one from WrestleMania. You were kind enough to tap out. You didn't choose one?
I thought you meant I chose a WrestleMania.
No. You were at WrestleMania. Yes. You and I chatted. You're like, I've got one. Yeah. And so you sent it.
I had many, Rich, to be honest.
Mike, do you have Eclipse music? Is there six? No, forget it.
Could we play Bonnie Tyler today?
No, we definitely can't.
No.
All right. So, Chris, you go first.
I'll go first.
What's your sports moment you'd like to have totally eclipsed out of your memory banks?
This is of all the bad things that have happened in my sports watching and being a fan life. This was the easiest one I've ever done in my whole life.
Okay.
It literally, hey, can you send that in? Got it. And I literally typed, let's see, the 11 letters, helmet catch. It's the easiest thing ever. I don't want to ever see this play again. I'm not even going to look at the screen. I don't want to look directly into the camera that's the monitor that's left of me, okay? I don't need to see Tyree and his one hand sticking and Rodney Harrison trying to bang it, and he can't even do it. Don't need to see it ever again the rest of my life. Helmet catch, be gone.
What if we gave you helmet catch glasses that you can look directly at it? You still wouldn't, even if we gave
don't
you the proper eyewear?
What is I maintaining eye contact with you right now? Because I don't want to look to my 10 o'clock and see the monitor that has the helmet catch on it.
I think what would it look
can't
like?
Do it.
It would be a helmet with the glasses on top of it that you'd be able to.
A visor.
Like the super dark one, like the Debo extra dark visor.
Just don't look directly at it.
I'm not looking directly at the helmet catch.
You'd like it to be removed.
Mike, shut up. I hate you.
And I just love how when we had Eli Manning on the show, then said to him what you've been saying over and over and over again.
It's like
the number of holding penalties that didn't get called. And Eli's response is the greatest. He goes, holding? They didn't block anybody.
Exactly.
So
he was running like a maniac.
So I don't need to see Asante Samuel, the play before, drop an interception.
Yeah.
I don't need to see the 38 holdings on Richard Seymour and Vince Wilfer. I don't need to see it.
Okay.
Helmet
very good.
Catch gone.
Well done. TJ Jefferson, you have one. Which sports moment would you to have totally eclipsed out of your memory banks?
Good Lord, you guys handcuffed me by only letting me do one.
We all have many. You just got to choose one.
Teams and
there's only one moon and one sun and one eclipse.
Look, I have multiple teams. Most of them stink. And you know that, like, there's been a lot of bad stuff from the Mets to the Sixers to the Cowboys to the Georgetown Hoyas. But I tell you
left
what,
out the Clippers.
Sorry.
Listen, somebody who's got 11 favorite teams, we're bound to have trouble just choosing one moment.
But I have to go to this, right? Because I figure if I eliminate this from my memory, that means it didn't happen.
Yes.
And if it didn't happen, that means history's changed, all right?
Okay.
So if I could go back to the point where Jerry and Jimmy divorced when they decided that it's over, I could eliminate the last 30 years of just horribleness of being a Cowboys fan. Because if they stay together, history has changed. We win like 8, 9, 10 Super Bowls.
Oh,
and I don't have to hear this crap single fall. I don't have to put up with this. I want to erase this. I don't want this to have happened. I want them to have like lived happily ever after and have a handful of rings like we're Bill Russell, and we didn't, and that's just it. Man.
Okay, look at those two baby
faces up
there. I
thought you were
going to
take the Dez.
Just take the last chunk out of the pie.
This is interesting that it's not really a moment on the field. It's a moment in a front office or a hotel bar somewhere, you know.
Which changed everything, because if Dez caught it, like, Dez would have caught it because...
Then you might have won the Super Bowl that year.
I'm just saying, everything would have changed.
If somebody wasn't overserved at some point, maybe...
My life would be different. Okay, I'm just telling you that. My life
TJ
would
be all in.
Now, you didn't let anybody know, but I know. I already know which one it is.
Oh, the Phantom Foul in 89.
It's one of my favorite moments.
Yeah.
It's my sun and moon.
Are you kidding me? Even
Michigan
2004
taking care of Seton Hall?
Yankees, I would have gone. I was there, and I'm like, I still to this day cannot believe we don't have a national championship.
Yeah.
And we should have one. That's all I want.
The 89.
It would have been so insane.
Ramil Robinson, who couldn't make a free throw for his life.
Yeah, exactly. Play better.
Suddenly looking like Steph Curry on a good day. From the line.
That's it.
Look at Musburger interviewing Steve Fisher. Look at that on the screen.
Yeah, that's not good. I'll look at it. I don't care.
Look, Mike, you got the NIT this year.
The last, and we won the NIT this year. And by the way, we beat you the last time we played you.
Just make sure Glenn Rice doesn't go off for a million points.
I know.
He was so great.
I get it.
So
good. I can't get mad.
I thought you might have done like Luis Gonzalez.
Isn't it funny how your eclipse moment is something I would never want to block out ever again? Interesting. Here on National Championship Monday. Okay, here's mine. This is simple. This one was easy.
Easy,
simple, because I was there for it. It was a big moment. It was a big moment for me. And even though, you know, for the lack of a better word, greed is good in sports world. Even though I had gotten tons of World Series love from my team, the 2001 Game 7 of the World
That's
Series.
That's what I thought Mike would have done.
Is the moment I want to just eclipse out of it. I would just say the ninth inning. Just the ninth inning of it, and what happened with Mariano, and you know, and you know, and how everything went downhill, and Luis Gonzalez hit a ball exactly where nobody was.
Yeah. It would have been if the infield was
of course,
a regular.
And Mariano being as unbeatable, and this obviously being 2001 and being a big moment for the city of New York, and Arizona winning it all was absolutely gutting for me. Susie and I were covering that together. She for Fox Sports, me for ESPN. We sat in the player's spouse section behind home plate in the eighth inning and watched Mariano come in and mow down the Diamondbacks to the point where many of the family members were crying because they knew the ninth inning would be more of the same, and then it wasn't. Oh. And then that ensued in front of me. It was a total nightmare, made worse
by Susie?
By me going into the locker room.
Oh, yeah.
And the Yankees losing locker room, seeing George Steinbrenner there with his white dickie and his blue blazer, and seeing the Yankees just being completely morose, and Susie coming up to me and revealing to me some very disturbing information that she had just received unsolicited the phone digits of a certain New York Yankee who wrote it down on a baseball and gave it to her.
That's right.
We still don't know.
And the Yankees knew, all of them knew, that Susie and I were together. And this one just didn't care. Scrolled down the digits on the baseball.
Didn't care.
And flipped it to her.
It's a great idea.
And it just made it even worse.
Did she call?
The disrespect. Did she call? How disrespectful can you be, TJ?
I'm just saying. Like, you know.
Do I need to put this best mom ever sign on here? Does it look like it's fading like the Back to the Future Polaroid? No.
There was no choice. Ball? What happened to the ball?
Yeah, great question. These are all questions you should ask Susie when she's back in this chair.
Susie has a
which will happen soon, I'm sure.
What happened?
Yeah, where
great
the
questions.
Ball? Yeah.
You can ask her if she wants to reveal the player's name. I will not do it.
We'll just guess. That's fine.
No, that's okay. You,
I mean, just guess. We'll guess.
2001, no, no, we got to go Yankees.
I want to eclipse that entire memory out of my banks. Okay?
Catch your question, Rich. What hurt more, losing the game or the fact that your girl was getting hit on by
No. I actually took that as a compliment.
Yeah.
Although I felt disrespected because the players absolutely knew we were together. Okay? They knew it. And they didn't care. And all I'm saying is they should have felt miserable about what happened, not like trying to, hey, while we're going out the door here, here's my digits.
Disrespect is real.
Very real. I want to eclipse that whole damn memory out of my bank. Talk about totality. And so nothing changed behind me, right? It's not dark at all. It's nothing here in Los Angeles.
Well, it's hard to tell with the blinds down. You know,
not really. TJ. People are kind of tweeting about it. See, like I said, the most overrated natural event that we have. An eclipse.
So then what's a properly rated natural event that we have?
The earthquake in New York.
Great question.
The earthquake in Jersey.
Does that count? Or New Jersey, I should say. Anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
I was on the phone with my brother when that
happened. Hold on a minute. We have a lot of phone calls to take, but okay. Rich in Temecula, just listen to what we were saying, and let's keep this germane. What's up, Rich?
Hey, man, how you guys doing? Good to see you, Rich.
What's going on? You want to chime in?
Yeah, man, I got it. You know, I'm a Seattle guy, so you know, of course, Russell throwing that pickoff instead of handing off the beast motor or naked bootleg or something. I got to get that one out of my memory.
Yeah,
they would have been two in a row, right?
Oh, my God.
Broke up the Legion of Boom.
It's funny you... I shouldn't say funny. It's interesting that you mentioned this, Rich, because whenever I'm asked about a moment that I've ever witnessed where a fan's emotions flipped within like a switch, I mentioned that moment where Seahawks fans were elated, ready to celebrate, were immediately crying, and the Patriots were crying, immediately became elated. I've never seen a flip like that, and the only thing that comes close is what I mentioned about my eclipse moment. But that took an entire – how long was the ninth inning? That was like a 10-minute inning in Game 7.
Oh, yeah.
So it wasn't like an instant moment. Right. It was a very slow developing crash that I witnessed for the Yankees.
Yeah, I was at the Super Bowl, not at the game, but I was at a private little event because I go to Steinberg's party every year. So I was on Saturday. So I was at the event with some Cleveland Browns, a couple old veterans, some ladies. We were at this thing off Scottsdale, and there was a bunch of Seattle fans. Everybody was all fired up because it was the pass down to the curse, and it was went all the way down. We were like, all right, sweet, you know, like 48 seconds left or something of that nature. And I'm thinking, okay, naked bootleg, you know, just push everybody left, run Russell on the edge, drag the tight end or something, or just hand it off to beast mode. We got this, two in a row, sweet. But no one's fired up. I'm just watching because you never know. All of a sudden, what the hell? Throwing a three-yard hitch?
Yeah.
5'10 quarterback? Come on, man. Let's go.
Thanks for the call, Rich. Appreciate it. And I hope that we can help you block that memory out.
Yeah, I don't want to block that.
That one you like.
That one I really
see, in
like.
The same way he's blocked, I like. Yeah, let it go.
Let it go.
Let's stare right at it. Stare right at it. I'm not blind. As a matter of fact, now I can see.
Oh, even brighter than I did
beautiful.
Before.
Beautiful. Food tastes better. You know,
wine tastes better.
I know. See, it's a game 7, though. World Series, 9th inning, took forever. So I could it wasn't immediate. What was more immediate was my complete depression turning into anger when Susie says, I've got these digits on a baseball.
Shane Spencer would never.
Shane Spencer?
Look, I think
is not it, but a great name to pull. Great name to pull.
Luis Soho needs to apologize.
Oh, my God.
Keep trying.
You think if you just casually start throwing out names, I'll bite.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, because you'll start to get a twitch.
No. Susie Schuster will be back in this chair. It is entirely up to her how much of that story she wants to reveal.
I think Randy Velarde is on
nicely
six.
Done. Nicely done. That is definitely, I'm not confirming or denying a damn thing.
What you're saying is next week, the show will be hosted by Susie Knobloch?
Oh, my God.
Rich Kofax and Susie Knobloch.
Rich Kofax show. That might be my greatest moment. By
oh, my God, yeah.
Let me just say this. Susie Leiritz ain't walking through that door. I don't think he was on the 0-1 team.
Guys, tune in next
let's
week
take a break.
Susie Justice is
on all right, very good. Very good. You guys are funny.
Brockman and I are going to text
now,
very
now
shortly.
I want to eclipse out this segment. Albert Breer coming up. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people, or as you might know from their jingle, O-O-O, O'Reilly Auto Parts. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offers friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs, because you know when you need your car fixed, you need somebody who knows what they're talking about and is helpful, has a smile on their face, and gets you back on the road. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you just find the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fix, or a quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you will find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts knowledgeable, helpful, and the best of all, friendly. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. Every day when we're on the road, people around us endanger themselves and others by using their phones while driving. They think they're hiding it, but we've all seen them and know exactly who they are. For instance, there is the sneak-a-peeker who darts their eyes between the road and their texts. There's also the got-a-ticketer looking upset because they just got a ticket for using their phone while driving. And what about the fast-scroller who can't drive 5 minutes without updating their social feeds? Or the nightlighter, who has that mysterious glow illuminating the inside of their car after dark. Do any of these sound familiar? If they remind you of yourself or someone you know, rethink your behavior before you find yourself becoming the fender benderer, the veering off the roader, or worst of all, the driver who killed someone. Put the phone away or pay. Paid for by NHTSA. Back here on the program, Albert Breer is going to join us in a matter of moments. Here
we're
on
still
the show.
Live, Rich.
Huh?
The clip.
Did
alive.
You go outside?
For a split second.
But it doesn't look any different. You can't tell.
Slightly, but
it's a little more orange. Right?
I peered up to the left and it was bright.
It gets like a weird, like.
Yeah, but it's over.
Yeah, it's. I mean, Rich, yeah. It's quick.
People were out there standing around.
Were they really?
Yeah. No one had any eye gear on, so I hope they weren't looking up, but they were all out there.
I went to the Griffith Observatory during one of the partial ones once. It's pretty cool because you can show it on like the
Yeah.
Because they have the, obviously, the telescope. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Like, when you not, but it's like, it's, I'm with Chris. Overrated.
Overrated.
Overrated. I'm with you.
That's what I'm saying. 100%. Give me a properly rated. I mean, what do you? How is it overrated? It's an incredible thing. There's one sun, there's one moon, and then there's one moment where one's blocking the other. What are you talking about?
Properly rated natural event, right?
Yeah.
Is the type of thing we had if the New Jersey earthquake. Everyone felt it. Nothing was damaged. Nobody got injured. That's the perfect. Everyone gets to kind of feel it. Oh, everything's shaking.
I was on the phone with my brother.
Like,
he actually
people
was
were
like,
on
what?
The air, yeah. Shows yeah. On the East Coast.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, your Twitter feed is going nuts because East Coasters don't ever really feel that type of stuff.
Right, right.
And so that is just kind of like the perfect event. No yeah. Destruction, no calamities, and everyone gets to feel it and the shared experience of it. And then we move on.
Now, you know, the sports moment that you'd want to eclipse out of your life, we just all gave one. I could guess Albert's. And you might think this is a troll job of Michigan and Ohio State. It's not. I would bet the Miami-Ohio State moment would be Ooh. One that he'd want blocked Whoa. Out.
Well, they got hosed.
Yes.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good
like
one.
Like, if he had to choose one.
That's a good one.
Or another Boston one. I don't know. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Our friend from Sports Illustrated is back here on the Rich Eisen Show, Albert Breer. How you doing, Albert?
I'm good. What was the question there?
The question like is, based on the story du jour, is which sports moment would you want to have eclipsed out of your memory banks if you could choose just one? And I guess
the one I'd want to get rid of?
Yes.
You're saying?
Yep. Yep. Blocked out. Full totality out of your memory banks.
Sports full totality moment. Out of my memory banks. Florida, Ohio State, 2007.
Okay.
Ooh.
I have never
been more confident in a team than I was in the 07 Buckeyes. And that was the 1-2 that was the year the 1-2 game with Michigan the day after Bo died or 2 days after Bo died.
Right.
And that team I've never been more confident in a team than I was that I root for than I was in that team. And that team, as skeptical as I've always been as a sports fan, that's like prevented me from ever being like fully optimistic ever again.
Wow. That's a scarring one. I was going to guess it would be Miami, Ohio State. That would be the one.
Oh, and I want to get rid of that. That was a great memory. That was phenomenal.
Okay. All right. Just wanted to figure out.
Oh, Miami got screwed.
Oh, Miami got screwed.
Miami's the one.
Oh, okay. That's
Miami
right.
Didn't get screwed. That was a good call. I mean, kudos to the official. That flag.
That
just, he just it just took him a little while to fish it out of his pocket. That's all.
Where is that thing? Hold on a minute. Oh, there it is. Okay. All right. Albert, you're reporting on why the Bills sent Stephon Diggs to the Texans when it would have cost them $3 million less on the cap to keep him is what?
Yeah, so a couple things. I think the first thing is the obvious, which, you know, like it has been sort of an annual thing that they've, you know, dealt with some drama off the field. And I think going through the thing in minicamp last year is not a non-factor. So there is the thought that eventually you're going to have to move past all of that. And so that's there. I think the bigger thing is that I would never say the door – The window of opportunity is closed. The window of championship opportunity is closed on a team that's got a quarterback like Josh Allen. But I think with each of these quarterbacks, you have like little eras within their bigger era. And the first era for Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean and building around Josh Allen was drawing to a close. A lot of guys had gotten into their 30s. Some guys had had injury issues. It just, I think, towards the end of last year, you could tell that that group was sort of on fumes. And so you saw earlier this offseason, they're starting to offload some of those guys. Micah Hyde, Jordan Poyer, Tre'Davious White, Mitch Morse, guys who were cornerstones for them that were such a big part of building the Bills into what they've been over the last 6-7 years. And so when you're looking at this as Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott, it's, okay, so we can either do this in phases where we get rid of those guys this year and then maybe Stephon Diggs next year and we're dealing with the ramifications of both in 2 different years, or we can do it all at once. And in that way, I think it's sort of, you can draw a comparison to what the Rams did last year when they offloaded Jalen Ramsey and Leonard Floyd, a bunch of other people. They made the conscious decision then, the Rams did, that if we don't do this now, then this is going to be a multi-year process. And so do we want to do it in 1 year? Do we want to do it over a couple of years? And they made the decision they wanted to do it all at once. And because they got great coaching, great quarterback play, and great drafting, and finding guys like Kobe Turner and Puka Nacua and Byron Young, they were able to make the playoffs in their reset year. So that's sort of where the Bills are now, is they're in a full reset year. It doesn't mean they can't win, but they have to get great coaching, great quarterbacking, and great drafting to get through it. And so I think all of that added up to, you know, like this being the time to do it, especially when you consider the value they got back and getting what was the rough equivalent of a low second round pick. You know, I know that sounds like not much for a really great player, but the reality of it was if they waited any longer, there was no guarantee that they were even going to be able to get that going forward. So I think you kind of meld all those things together and you say, okay, you know, we're going to go through a reset year in 2024 and we'll have clean financials and a much younger team in 2025 going forward to sort of, you know, launch Josh Allen 2.0 in Buffalo.
So, and again, this is not me searching for low-hanging fruit. And clearly in our business, when a quarterback and a Pro Bowl top-notch wide receiver are rumored to be having a falling out, we're constantly hunting and pecking for the for the answer. And it's been a couple of years running, actually, with these two guys. So there's no there on that front. It's just all an economic decision, Albert?
I think Josh and Steph are fine. Yeah, I mean, I know they kept Josh up to date on that. I think over the last month or so, this deal was first discussed over a month ago, Rich. And, you know, it wasn't a result of them putting Stephon Diggs on the trade market. It sort of is the same as when, you know, when Diggs was traded from Minnesota to Buffalo. That was all sparked by a tweet. You know, like Stephon Diggs, I can't remember exactly what it was he tweeted, but he tweeted something on the day he was traded to Minnesota, which prompted Brandon Bean, the Buffalo general manager, to pick up the phone and call the Vikings and ask if he was available. Sort of the same thing here, you know, with a couple of teams had looked at the situation and said, I wonder if there's an opportunity there for us to go get Stephon Diggs. One of those teams was Houston. And that conversation started, you know, over a month ago now. And, you know, Nick Caserio kind of stuck with it and they kept working on it and working on it and working on it. And as Buffalo's situation evolved over the last, you know, 4, 5, 6 weeks, where it was clear that, you know, they were going to be in this, you know, youth movement, this phase where they were going to be retooling a little bit, and they got through their receiver evaluations. And this is a receiver group that's both really strong at the top and deep in the draft. You know, they kind of get to the point where they say, okay, like, you know, like this is the time to do it. Again, I don't think things are perfect between Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs, but I know that they've had a pretty close relationship, a pretty respectful relationship over the years. Their competitiveness, the two of them, you get the best of them at times, but I don't think that this is like Josh Allen picking up the phone and saying, get this guy out of town.
Okay, I'm glad to hear that. And so what's the genesis or the story behind the way the Texans handled Diggs's contract as soon as he was on their team, where they wiped out a bunch of years and he's essentially on a walk year right now? Why do that?
Yeah, I think it's a good faith thing. You know, I think it's a good faith thing in saying, like, we'd love to have a longer term relationship with you. But, you know, like for right now, you know, like let's work through this. And I think Diggs had the motivation to maybe get one more bite of the financial apple, and this allows him to go and do that. It's going to be very difficult for the Texans to franchise him based on what that number will be in 2025. And so, you know, Stephon Diggs effectively has a freeway to free agency now, which gives him great bargaining power. He's 30 years old. So, you know, is the way last year ended, is that a harbinger that, you know, things, you know, like might be going in the wrong direction? It's possible. You know, that's what happens sometimes with older receivers. But I think it does, you know, give the Texans a chance to get a very motivated Stephon Diggs. Not that he wouldn't be otherwise, because of how competitive he is. And, you know, if you look at where the Texans are financially too, you know, after the, you know, they're going to be looking at paying Nico Collins after this year. And then, you know, obviously down the line, budgeting for Will Anderson and CJ Stroud. And so they're going to have some bigger numbers coming down the pike, you know, over the next few years. But they have this opportunity now while CJ Stroud's on a rookie contract and Will Anderson's on a rookie contract. And so I view it as them taking advantage of that. and sort of keeping themselves loose financially going forward, where they have Stephon Diggs coming in on a one-year deal. Doesn't mean he won't re-sign after the year, but he's in on a one-year deal. And they have Danielle Hunter coming over from the Vikings to play opposite Will Anderson on a two-year deal. Very much targets like the next couple of years as the time to take advantage of having CJ Stroud on a rookie contract.
And then lastly for you, because you're the maven here in terms of ear to the ground trends and what general managers and the rest of the league is looking at position groups and how to put rosters together. The Chargers also let two of their top receivers walk, one in a trade, one in walk-in for their stud quarterback and his second contract. So I'm just wondering, are we seeing the receiver position viewed more like a running back spot where let's go get some in the draft? Look at the Packers, what they did with a bunch of guys who were $11 million collectively on the cap. Yeah. I had Ross Tucker here in hour number two. He said, look at the Chiefs. They've gone back to back after trading away Tyreek Hill. Are we seeing a trend here, Albert?
If you want to get super big picture with it, Rich, which I know you don't mind that, right?
Yeah.
You want to get super big picture with this. This is the way the sport's going. I mean, that's where the best athletes are playing. It seems like, and you cover the draft as closely as anybody on a year-to-year basis. It's like every year is a great receiver year, and they're always second and third round picks to be dug out, Think about Amon-Ra St. Brown in Detroit and Nico Collins in Houston. Like, these are guys who are non-first-round picks, So there's not only the great, freak guys at the top, and you have three of those this year, and Harrison, Adunze, and Neighbors, but there's also depth all over the place. And so I think it's a little different than running back. With running back, it's more you're going to get the best value for them while they're on their rookie contracts, and obviously they age much faster than the other positions, and it is an easier position to fill. I think with the receiver, it's more – It's become replaceable because there's so many great ones, because that's where all the great athletes in the sport are gravitating, because of the passing game, because of 7-on-7. In fact, if you want to go a level deeper on this, have you noticed over the last few years how so many of the top corners are sons of NFL players? Patrick Surtain, Asante Samuel Jr., J.C. Horn is Joe Horn's kid there in Carolina. Derek Stingley is Daryl Stingley's grandson. Why do you think that is? It's because their dads are looking at it and saying, there are so many kids who are 6'1", 6'2", 200 pounds that can really run playing receiver. Go play corner, kid, And so I think that there's a bigger picture thing here happening at the receiver position. And certainly for the Chargers, if you look at it, what's harder to replace? Keenan Allen and Mike Williams or Joey Bosa and Khalil Mack? I'd say it's much harder to replace the edge rushers because there are less of those guys out there. So I didn't mean to take that to a place that you didn't intend to take
it. But you're right.
I think it's a big picture thing that starts when these kids are 13, 14, 15 years old. Like Odell Beckham, maybe he's Marshall Faulk a generation ago. You know what I mean? There's all kinds of cases like that in football now.
Yeah, we didn't mention Joey Porter's kid too, right? There's another one for you right there. Albert Breer here on the Rich Eisen Show. In your MMQB that you posted today, you talked about the Michael Penix conundrum. What is that right now?
So, if you want to go back to the fall, and I ask around about the quarterbacks in particular during the fall, because I like to have that perspective, with scouts, guys who are on the road. I've felt for a long time the NFL wasn't as high on Michael Penix as the general public was, and so, I really went into all this thinking maybe he's a second round pick, maybe he's a third round pick, people would catch up to kind of how the NFL views him. And, one of the reasons why was right before the championship game, I asked a bunch of scouts about both McCarthy and Penix to try to get, a read on how they saw them. And, one of the scouts called him a 3-point shooter and that he's unbelievable down the field, really, really great accuracy down the field, but he's not great. And it's a weird thing that they have a hard time explaining, but he wasn't great underneath, with the short to intermediate stuff. And so, as I asked around, that kind of kept coming up. And then I see what Jesse Minter and Michigan did to him in the championship game. They basically, and Rich, you watched it closely, they dared him to go underneath. They dared him to go on 10, 12 play drives, and they couldn't do it. And so, I think that was sort of the rep that scouts, saw. That was the rep that he had with scouts over the course of the last couple of years. what's fascinating about this now, and this is what I call the conundrum, is as I've made more calls over the last couple of weeks, I've found that coaches love him and that coaches like him a lot more than scouts do. And so I was talking to somebody over the weekend who, you know, knows Penix, and I asked, why would that be? And it was really interesting. The answer I got was that Penix has the stuff that you can't coach. The downfield accuracy is very, very difficult to correct or grow. It's just either there or it's not. Michael Penix throws with anticipation. That's really, really hard to coach. Where he struggles, like underneath, like coaches feel like they can fix that. Where he struggles with movement in the pocket, coaches feel like they can work on that. So I think that that's the conundrum, is that, you know, in some of these draft rooms, you're going to have coaches that really, really like him. Like, I had a couple coaches tell me that they thought he was the second best quarterback in the entire draft behind Caleb Williams, which stunned me based on where scouts were putting him over the last 3 or 4 months. So I think that that's where it's going to be really interesting to see the way these things are kind of worked through over the next couple of weeks in these draft rooms, where there could be some disagreement on Michael Penix Jr.
So then now that we're, I mean, rubber's meeting the road, sir, you know, I mean, we're 17 days out from the draft now. Yep. I mean, top 50 visits are going to end very shortly. And I mean, man, we're in Masters week. This is it. Like, this is time here. So your best guess, do you think we're going to see four quarterbacks top of the draft? Albert, what do you think?
I think four. You mean one, two, three, four?
Yes, sir. In the row. We start with four quarterbacks in a row.
Okay. I think if New England takes Drake May at three, then yes. I think either Minnesota or New England takes Drake May at three. That would be my guess right now. And I know that sounds a little weird, but I think Minnesota would move up with New England. And if New England has Drake May and J.J. McCarthy equal, or has, say, J.J. a little over or even way over Drake, well, then I think New England would look at the board and say, could we trade down and then trade back up? Sort of like what Arizona did last year, right? Like where, you know, Monty Austinfort, first year GM there, would have taken Paris Johnson third overall, moves down to 11 in that trade with Houston. So Houston can go up and get Will Anderson. And then they wind up turning back around and trading back up to six and get the guy they would have taken at three in Paris Johnson, along with all the extra draft capital that came with that. I could see New England doing something like that, or maybe somebody else comes up to get J.J. McCarthy at four. So I think the scenario where it's one, two, three, four might be New England takes Drake May, sits at three, takes Drake May at three, and then somebody comes up with Arizona, maybe Minnesota, to get McCarthy at four. If again, McCarthy goes, if Minnesota comes up to get May at three, then maybe the same urgency to get up doesn't exist because Minnesota is now off the board as a trade partner. And maybe New England, you know, pits four, five, and six against each other to go up and get McCarthy. I know that's complicated.
No.
There's a lot to untangle there. But I think that there's that sort of game of poker that could happen on draft
week. So how do we not get four in a row to start then? New England does what? Like they go Marvin Harrison instead of a quarterback, or because they think they can get Nix or Penix another spot? I mean,
like, right. So like, I think that there's like there's all these connections out there, right? Like, so a lot of people have connected, and we talked about this a couple weeks ago, Jaden Daniels to the Raiders because of Antonio Pierce. Yes. Well, there's the same sort of connections with Minnesota and Drake May. Josh McCown coached Drake May in high school. Josh McCown's son played with Drake May at high school there in Charlotte. So, and there's a really good rapport between May and the Viking staff. Now, I can't say whether or not that means they're going to go over the top and offer both first round picks this year and a first round pick next year to go up and get Drake May. But, you know, if that were to happen, then I think maybe that lessens the urgency again, because Minnesota is not part of the equation anymore to move up and get J.J. McCarthy. And so,
but the Giants are sitting there at six, though. You know what I mean?
Maybe the Giants sit and take him at six. Maybe instead of going up to four, the Patriots say we're going up to five. Maybe the Patriots offer to get up to four because they don't have the two current first round picks. Maybe their offer to go up to four isn't what Arizona would want. Maybe Arizona sits and takes Marvin Harrison or somebody else there.
And then you got the you also have the Broncos too.
Broncos,
man.
J.J. McCarthy stylistically fits Sean Payton.
Right.
You know.
Yes.
So, like, I do.
But
think,
he's not
like,
going to. He's not going to be there at 12, sir. I don't think.
No, I know, and that's what I'm saying is like, we're all prisoners to our history, right? Well, part of it was Sean Payton. is, you know, and I can tell you this, like the sting of 2017 still sits with Sean Payton and what he went through in 2017 when he genuinely loved Patrick Mahomes when not a lot of other people did. And they were sitting there at 11 and Andy Reid, his old buddy, jumps him and, you know, trades up from 27 to 10 and steals Patrick Mahomes. Like that kind of thing sits in a guy's head, you know? And so Sean Payton, and I can't say one way or another whether or not he loves anybody even close to as much as he loved Mahomes in 2017. But if he does, I think the sting of having gone through that would prompt him to want to really get aggressive and move up. So, yeah, I mean, I think there are all kinds of interesting kind of machinations at play here. And I mean, I can tell you, you know, you have the teams in the top three and then no less than four teams in the top 13 have really looked at the idea of going up and going up for a quarterback. The Giants at six, the Vikings at 11, the Broncos at 12, and then the Raiders at 13. So there certainly could be competition to move up, no question.
Albert, you're the man. Thanks for the time. Greatly appreciate it. Again, we'll have you on before the draft, too.
And Absolutely.
Well, and I'll see you in Detroit for sure, right? You'll be in Detroit?
I don't know if I'm going to be in Detroit. We'll see. Might be too many Wolverines there for me. Was it? You guys have so many nice coincidences.
Look at this guy. I was ready to just say goodbye to him and not bring up the fact that he's like, oh, I wanted Coach Cal at Ohio State, but we couldn't afford him to keep our NIL program together for football. Ooh. And I've been like, what does that mean?
So priorities is what I mean.
You know, the $13 million team, we're gonna have to see
or football school rich
in November.
We've never run from that.
We're more chicken money.
The $13 million kids gonna welcome Michigan into the
horseshoe. When we have a downturn in football, we don't pretend to be a basketball school like some other places. We're a football school. I won't run from that.
All right. A little bit of let's just say this: the eclipse isn't the only fireworks. Good to see you.
That's right.
All right, Albert.
Great to see you, Rich.
All right, the man, Albert Breer. Check out the MMQB at the MMQB, obviously, but Albert Breer is a must follow. And a good chat right there. All right, 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Take a phone call or two. And then, TJ, I got to know how your weekend was.
Oh,
fresh back from WrestleMania. TJ Jefferson next to wrap up our Monday show.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
The judge's decision was based on finding there is a likelihood.
So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
When you see the video of you throwing to Tyree, okay, what do you think of when you see that?
I just smile. I'm just thankful for David Tyree, man. There's not a better person and a guy who just, who had the worst week of practice in the history of all practices on that Friday and dropped every pass and,
come on.
You know, thought he was going to be the starting receiver. And then Plaxico, you know, comes back and plays that game. And then, sure enough, in the game, David Tyree has a touchdown catch and then makes the catch, you know, with Rodney Harrison hanging all over him.
Mm-hmm.
Bob Poppa giving the call saying, you know, he's got a wide open receiver, you know, and I guess that's wide open in the NFL. And, David Tyree, just the will, the desire was there and just catching it off the helmet. Just what an unbelievable story. Never get tired of watching that play.
All right, well, Chris Brockman, my on-air compadre here. What do you tell him? Go ahead, tell him what you say every time. Now that he's here, you can say it to his face. Go ahead, Chris.
Well, usually I say it to Sean O'Hara because Sean is here. But,
right.
I mean, there were 14 different holdings on that play.
He sees
play,
holding. Eli, what do you say to that?
He says holding?
Yeah, he sees holding.
I didn't see it. How can you have holdings? They didn't block anybody. No one was in the line. It's like, all right.
You know,
they let them run in. You know, almost get set by all four players. You know, they kind of just blocked them off. You know, I think, you know, probably holding, if the guy's holding me, you know, like a defense player is holding me, I think you're allowed to do whatever you want
to the
pass rusher at that point. If I'm in the like grass, they can just grab them also and pull them off. It's kind of it's kind of free range at that point. I agree.
You, Chris, you see holding. Eli sees grasping. That's what he sees.
I see the greatest play ever.
That's right. There's
I
a giant.
I was right there, Eli. I was sitting right there.
I was there in the building.
That's it. Wow, look how different your neck of the woods was back in the day, huh?
Wow,
back on the Rich Eisen Show. Game Time Tickets, now an authorized ticket marketplace of Major League Baseball, which makes getting tickets even faster and easier. Prices on the Game Time app actually go down the closer it gets to first pitch. With killer last-minute deals, all-in prices, view from your seats, and their lowest price guarantee, Game Time takes the guesswork out of buying MLB tickets. And you can get it for any event, football, basketball, concerts, comedy. It is awesome, and it's so easy to use. It's so simple to find your ticket. It's so easy to see what your final price is going to be. There's no sticker shock. Download the Game Time app, create an account, use my code RICH, and you get $20 off your first purchase. Restrictions apply. Visit GameTime.co for terms. Again, create the account, redeem the code RICH, $20 off. Download the Game Time app today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. Terzo and Iowa, all rise, everybody. All rise. What's up, Terzo? What's going on, sir?
Pura vida there, my man, Rich. Welcome back to the state.
I'm telling you, you've been to Costa Rica? You've been there?
Yeah, I was there about 5 years ago for a buddy's wedding. So I went against what our buddy LV says whenever
Hour and a half by car. Hour and a half by car. You wouldn't go to that, but I'll tell you, it's a beautiful country. The people there are phenomenal. And what's on your mind, Terzo? What do you got?
I had a blast there as well. Just shout out to Caitlin Clark and that Iowa basketball team, man. Tough loss. Like I said to you guys, I didn't think that they were actually going to make it to the championship game. Just very proud of those girls and the way they played. And for me, I'm just a diehard basketball fan. So I watch as much basketball as I possibly can, probably more than a lot of people. So I've watched the women's game for years. Diana Taurasi was probably one of my favorite players as a kid growing up. And so to watch all the Iowa fans get behind this basketball team the way they did, just speaks volumes of how transcendent Caitlin Clark is and how great it was to watch that game last night.
I'm with you, Terzo. Thanks for the call. You be well there in the great state of Iowa. That's Terzo in Iowa. Just I really enjoyed the watching the games. Listen, tonight when the men play and every damn 4 minutes there's a stoppage because of a TV timeout. I'm getting older, man. I'm getting older. When I'm railing against TV timeouts.
Do you think the men should go to quarters? Like
go to quarters and do it. Well, they'll never do that. They'll never do it because they've got four timeouts per half built in no matter what. And then you got all these guys who are grinding out the last 4 minutes just themselves. Timeout here, timeout, timeout, timeout. It was just a pleasure watching the women play. It's just like, you know, to me it feels just as intense. The three-pointers are fun to watch, just like the men's game. And the timeouts is just one every quarter after 5 minutes.
Yep.
It's first stoppage, timeout. There's two a half, not four. And it makes a difference, you know.
Stars help. Having huge stars.
Having huge stars helps,
that really
too.
Helps.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
Gambling helps.
Speaking of having, by the way, I think I just saw that it was the most bet-on game.
Yeah, most bet-on women's game ever.
Ever, yeah. Hey, T.J. Jefferson.
Yes, sir.
Speaking of stars, stars were everywhere at WrestleMania. You must have been in absolute heaven. It was there in Philadelphia.
It was an amazing two nights. You know, I took the red eye Friday night, so I got in about 6:40 a.m. on Saturday, and Saturday night, Lincoln Financial Field. It was about 50 degrees sitting out there. It was freezing cold.
Right.
But it was phenomenal, man. And then Sunday last night, just the culmination.
Are you all right with Roman Reigns no longer having the belt? Are we cool with that? I mean, Paul Heyman goes in the hall. By the way, his speech was amazing. He said he was going to wing it when he was on our show.
He had everything we thought he would.
I know that. And so, you know, and then he comes on and then Roman Reigns' reign is over. But Cody Rhodes is one of ours too, right?
He's a friend of the show.
Can we call Cody Rhodes a friend of the show?
I think so. Yeah, absolutely.
He's been on three times. So
he's been on a bunch, yeah.
In studio
and he's suited and booted every time. Like every he's going for a bank loan.
Well, as he said once on Monday Night Raw, he doesn't dress in a suit because he thinks he's a star. He dresses in a suit because he wants to be a star.
Well, he's a star, man.
And he's a star.
He's a superstar.
Yeah, he ended a very long reign.
You fine with it? You good with it?
Yeah, look, man, here's the deal, right? Every time we post something about wrestling on our Twitter or YouTube, inevitably you're going to get those people who are like, why are you covering this? Why, you know, it's wrestling.
Oh, stop it.
But the thing is this, right? If you don't like wrestling, then no reason I give you for how into it we are will suffice. But if you love wrestling, if you like it, then no reason is necessary.
But
like,
it's so insanely popular, and it's so populated by recognizable stars that are now throwing their hat figuratively and literally in the ring.
Yep.
And it trends to the point where we could have legitimately started the show. I mean, Pat's been doing his show from there. Obviously, he's uniquely involved with WWE.
But he did his whole show basically about it.
And ESPN, I'm sure, doesn't bat an eyelash because it's trending. Everyone's talking about it.
It moves the needle. It really does.
But that's just, you know, and that's why I'm thrilled that you bring that into our world. And we'll always talk. And whenever we have a wrestler on there, incredibly engaging and fun and interesting and whatever. I was texting him, I don't like The Rock. I'll say it. I don't like The Rock as a heel. I don't like it. He's known in our world and from Moana. Like I don't want to see him cursing and bloody and yelling, threatening referees to get fired if they count him out. And he's like,
Maui's cursing.
Maui's working blue. I don't like it.
Yeah. So you know, Rich was gone the previous week, so I didn't see him. So I called him yesterday.
I don't like him as a heel.
I called him yesterday at Philly. I left this thing called WrestleCon, right, where you have a bunch of old school wrestlers come, sign autographs, take pictures. I got to meet for the first time a guy named Hal Haney, who we became friends over Instagram. He's the guy who makes all of this art around. He and I had never met in person before. Yeah. So I went there and we got to meet, and it was really awesome. You know, all the art, like I said, that's around the studio. I got to meet a guy named Tommy Wildfire Rich. I got to meet the Powers of Pain and Demolition and Mark Henry and guys like that. Bobby Lashley, who was also on the show, ran into him at Macy's just randomly.
Why not?
He's like, I need to come back on the show. So we got to get Bobby Lashley back on
Rich,
there.
The
know?
Rock is the greatest heel ever.
I know that. And I understand what his role used to be. And I know who he is as a human and whatever, but I don't like it.
So Chris, I called Rich. Why do I need to see him as a heel again? I called Rich after I left WrestleCon to let him know, because you guys knew I was going to be a little late today. And Rich is like, I got to be honest with you. I don't like The Rock.
I don't like it.
And I was like, you know what then? The Rock is doing his job. He's doing what he's supposed to be doing. Right. You know, you also had Jason Kelsey, Lane Johnson, and the Eagles. They were right in front of me. They had Eagles Lucha Libre masks on. I kind of knew one had to be Kelsey, and when the other guy stood up, I'm like, that's got to be Lane Johnson. They helped Rey Mysterio and Andrade win. It was amazing, man. It was fun.
I'm glad you're back.
Moments of a lifetime. Shout out to Gary Vaynerchuk for hooking it up for me, my buddy Anton, and Greg. We had a great time.
Good times. Congrats to Cody Rhodes. And I don't like The Rock as a heel. I'm sorry. Every day when we're on the road, people around us endanger themselves and others by using their phones while driving. They think they're hiding it, but we've all seen them and know exactly who they are. For instance, there is the sneak-a-peeker who darts their eyes between the road and their texts. There's also the got-a-ticketer looking upset because they just got a ticket for using their phone while driving. And what about the fast scroller who can't drive 5 minutes without updating their social feeds? Or the nightlighter who has that mysterious glow illuminating the inside of their car after dark? Do any of these sound familiar? If they remind you of yourself or someone you know, rethink your behavior before you find yourself becoming the fender benderer, the veering off the roader, or worst of all, the driver who killed someone. Put the phone away or pay. Paid for by NHTSA.